Today we speak to Nandita Sharma. Nandita is a professor at the University of Hawaii in the Department of Ethnic Studies. She has worked tirelessly as an academic and activist around the issues of borders, migrant workers, and struggles for the commons, particularly here in Toronto. She is the author of Home Economics, Nationalism, and the Making of Migrant Workers in Canada. Today we speak to Nandita about the Conservative government's newest proposed legislation, Bill C-49, and its attack on migrants. Thanks for joining us, Nandita.
I'm so glad to be here, Craig.
Nandita, your research and academic work is focused on the making of migrant workers, and I'm wondering if you can expand on exactly what that means and how maybe the legislative shifts under the Conservative government over the last few years have reinforced that notion.
Right. There's two things that I've tried to do in my research. One is to document and analyze the massive shift that has happened in Canadian immigration policy over the last 30 or so years, where the majority of people who are now coming to Canada to work and live are being denied the status of permanent residents and instead are being given the status of temporary foreign worker or migrant worker. And that's a shift that is not very much discussed in the media. It's not reported consistently by the government itself in its annual statistics on immigration. So this, I thought it was really important, if we're going to talk about immigration to Canada, that we understand that the Canadian government is increasingly bringing people in under a very, very precarious status instead of giving them the right of permanent residency, which eventually leads to citizenship rights. The second thing that I've tried to do with my research is to show that we tend to take for granted the state's right to limit people's movement across the globe. We tend to take for granted the different kinds of status that the state imposes upon various groups of migrants. Some are permanent residents, others are temporary, you know, foreign workers. Another group are categorized as illegal, so on and so forth. I really wanted to show that that is a social process, and it needs to be understood as a political process. We need to be able to see this as not a natural phenomenon, but as something that the government is doing in collusion with employers in Canada to really make people incredibly vulnerable.
So, Nandita, as you know, this process has actually been underway significantly over the last year, particularly with migrant workers, but most recently with Tamil refugees arriving on boats. And the Conservatives have introduced Bill C-49 to address what they call, quote-unquote, human smuggling. And I'm wondering if you can talk a bit about what that rhetoric actually means and how to dissect that.
Right. Well, one of the first things clearly that the Harper government is engaging in is trying to shut off one of the few remaining avenues left for people to become permanent residents in Canada. It's also trying to shut off one of the only avenues where people can choose for themselves to enter Canada and seek asylum. You know, for most of the other categories of so-called legal migration to Canada, the government has to select you far in advance of you actually arriving in Canada. So if you're applying for permanent residency from abroad, you know, you have to go through this lengthy process, you have to pay thousands of dollars in fees, and you can only enter Canada once the government has approved your entry. Refugee status is one of the last remaining categories where the person herself can choose to come to Canada and make a claim for asylum. So clearly the Harper government is trying to do two things, which is, you know, a continuation as well of a former Liberal government. The Harper government is trying to shut off the right for people to determine for themselves when and if they want to move to Canada. And secondly, trying to shut off one of the last remaining avenues where people can gain permanent residency. So it's another way of ensuring that the majority of migrants who enter Canada, because of course they will continue to enter Canada, since nothing is being done to ensure, you know, that people's livelihoods are protected and their, you know, their environment is protected, they're living in peace and prosperity, you know, outside of Canada, nothing. The Harper government is doing nothing to ensure that. So people will continue to come to Canada. Bill C-49 is ensuring that even more people that come to Canada are going to be denied any access to legal permanent residency.
And Nandita, one of the things that's really interesting, interesting but also devastating about Bill C-49 is the sort of proposed stratification of refugees in the country. So some of the points that are being brought up are the right to jail people coming on boats for a minimum of 1 year, the ability to deny those refugees access to health services, the ability to stratify the system in order to have those people have to face very significant and onerous challenges to gain permanent residency here. And I'm wondering if you can talk a bit about sort of this remaking of the refugee in Canada through this type of legislation.
Right. Well, clearly what the Harper government is doing is ensuring that, you know, this one category remaining that allows people to come to Canada on their own volition and seek permanent residency, that ability is going to be seriously curtailed, as you say, because of these draconian limitations on their rights that the government is trying to impose. It clearly is a violation of international law. It's a violation of the international obligations that Canada has entered into in terms of refugee protection. And it's clearly a way to create a very, very vulnerable group of people within the country who are going to be denied many of the international rights that migrants have to, for instance, family reunification. Mm-hmm. So it is a massive assault on the rights of migrants in Canada, no doubt.
And in building on that, what we've seen is actually the Liberals and the Democratic Party really buying in to this legislation through this notion of human smuggling. And I know you've spoken out many times about that myth, and I'm wondering if you can talk about some of the actual myths of what human smuggling, what they're actually talking about, and how we should oppose that.
Well, human smuggling, you know, is just another way to say that people are using their human agency to move and to cross national borders. It's impossible for people to cross national borders if the state that they're trying to enter does not give them official permission, which increasingly those, you know, the ability to enter legally with official permission is being taken away from mm-hmm. more and more people. Human smuggling is just simply saying that people are availing themselves of assistance to cross national borders. So when the government says that they're cracking down on human smuggling, what it really means is that they are trying to prevent people from exercising their right of, you know, mobility across mm-hmm. the globe. Human smuggling is also used as a way to hide that fact that the government itself is creating this process. Once the government restricts legal migration and does absolutely nothing to alleviate the pressures for people to move and, in fact, exacerbates those pressures for people to move, people have no recourse other than try to seek the assistance of another person who's going to help them with documents, who's going to help them with transportation, so on and so forth. That's the only thing left for people to move once the government restricts their legal rights to be able to do so. So by calling human smugglers, you know, this plague, this criminal organization that is harming migrants, it's absolutely presenting a false image to the public. Human smugglers are not harming migrants. What is harming migrants are restrictive immigration policies. Human smugglers, in fact, for many of the migrants that I've spoken to who have availed themselves of human smugglers, human smugglers are seen as their only hope yeah. at a new life, at a new livelihood, at the opportunity to, you know, feed and take care of themselves and their families. Human smugglers are a lifeline for migrants. They're not abusive. So when the government goes after human smugglers, what they're really going after are migrants and, again, their right to move.
And touching on that, Nandita, you alluded obviously to these types of legislation just adding to more borders and boundaries and barriers for people to be able to move and actually make it to Canada if that's their final destination. And you've spoken a lot in the past about the need to build counter-nationalist and no-border movements. And so how can groups like No One Is Illegal work to sort of challenge these types of legislations and other people who feel the same way? How can we build this type of movement?
I think we need to begin with the demand for free movement. We need to begin our social, you know, our social activism with the demand that the state not be able to interfere in the free movement of people across the world. And, you know, we can, if we begin from that, what we're saying is that we are not accepting the state's claim to have the right to determine who moves into their territories, what status they're given once they do move. And if we were able to win that claim, we would be really fundamentally destroying one of the main ways that employers in Canada, for instance, benefit from these differential statuses that the Canadian government imposes upon migrants. We would undermine one of the major activities within capitalism to use migrants as a, you know, relatively cheapened and weakened source of labor.
So, Nandita, I mean, this is a really, really important point that you're making in terms of focusing on the right to free movement. And it's something I think that a lot of us here in Toronto have been really pushing within migrant justice circles. And I'm wondering, in terms of these types of legislation and this type of rhetoric, what do you have to say to those people sort of, you know, in the center or the left of the spectrum who, you know, still have this idea that, you know, there's this exploitative quality amongst human smuggling and stuff like that, you know, particularly around the gender dynamics?
Well, there is no doubt aspects of exploitation within the process of human smuggling. We can eliminate that. We can eliminate that exploitative process in people's movements by decriminalizing it. The reason there is any exploitation of migrants as they, you know, seek help to cross national borders is because it has been criminalized. It is a criminal activity to do that. The more we criminalize it, the more exploitation migrants will experience. So the government's approach with Bill C-49, instead of eliminating the exploitation of migrants or alleviating it, it is definitely, without a doubt, going to exacerbate it. We've already seen this, for instance, in the United States, where, you know, as we in the United States have more and more punitive measures against smuggling and so-called human trafficking, people have to pay smugglers much more money so that they're much more in debt.
Yeah.
The routes that smugglers take are much more dangerous, and all of that exacerbates the harm that's done to migrants. If we want to end the exploitation of migrants, we need to have free movement in the world. That's the only way we're going to achieve that.
Nandita, thank you so much for joining us today and taking time out of your busy schedule.
Oh, yeah, I'm very happy. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Okay, thanks a lot, and we miss you here in Toronto.
Oh, well, I wish I was there too.